So this morning, we're in a current series that we're talking about, about the plan, the power, and the pursuit of identification in Christ. Amen. So we're in this series. I encourage you to go back to our Destiny Church WNC Facebook page. You can look at the videos of the past few weeks and catch up with us. I encourage you to do that. This has been a powerful series. Amen. How many of you know it's easy to do what God tells you to do when you know who you are in Him and how He sees you through the blood of Jesus? Amen. And so you don't have a hard challenge to say, I've identified this is God. He is speaking to me. Amen. Whatever He wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. And knowing what God has called me to do will produce fruit. Say fruit. If you're fruitless in the seasons of your life as a Christian, we need to go back and reevaluate some things. Amen. Jesus, come on, he made many statements in the Gospels. He said, I am the vine, you are the branch. Amen. He said, pruning is necessary that you what? Bear much fruit. Amen. How many times when you go on an apple tree and it's apple season, anybody love apple season around here? In Waynesville, North Carolina over here, we have an awesome orchard where we get to go get in October, come on, November, December. I think it starts in actually August. And it's the orchard over there, and it's Barber's Orchard. Anybody ever heard of that? Man, that place is right off the high. Amazing when we get to go pick of that fruit. We get to eat of that fruit naturally. Listen, think about those that a lot of times as a church or as an individual or as the body of Christ, we're looking at what we're going through at the current moment. See, when we learn and grab a hold of this series, what we're teaching, our identification, you will see and evaluate the problem through the blood of Jesus, through the eyes of faith. And you will see that James says, count it all joy when this stuff happens. This isn't the finality. This is where we punch problems in the face as believers and say, here's a real issue. God, what do you got to say about that? He speaks from heaven because James chapter 1 says what? He gives you wisdom when you ask of Him. So what is this series about? It's about advancing the kingdom. It's about being so identified in our union with Him, we just don't not only understand it by mental assent, we understand it, come on, Bible faith is of the heart. Amen. So we're not Christians living a powerless life, living by just mental assent, having information. No, we're called to be Christians that are to be living our life by revelation. Amen. God revealing Himself to us. Amen. And so this church is about empowering people. Amen. And our message is, amen, we pray them out. And God said, I want you to talk about identity. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the glory. Come on, the glory of God. We've been seeing some wonderful things happen. And the Lord has spoken to our church through teaching on identification. How many of you know repetition is not a bad thing? Come on, I see Christians sit in the church and I see this look on their face. And they're like, I know. But in my heart, I'm like, Lord, I get the I know face, but I don't see the fruit. Come on. And so if we're not bearing fruit, we need to take the I know. We need to chew it up and swallow it. Amen. And we need to humble ourselves as Christians. How many of you know it's good for me too as pastor? Amen. There's times that God speaks to me and He says to me, listen, there is more. Come on, there is more. Sometimes even I get to looking at things and God speaks to me, there is more. Amen. In my personal life, in my marriage, I've been married 16 years, got four wonderful kids, but there's more. Come on, there's more I'm pouring into my children. My children will have an impact on the kingdom. Come on, and on this world. Why? Because there is more. God's saying, don't get your eyes on, come on, when you're raising children, what are you doing? You're always correcting, right? You're always adjusting, instructing, correcting as a parent. And listen, we need friends. Say friends. You need God. Ladies, you need godly women friends. Men, you need godly men friends. Come on, we need each other. We need one another. We are not Gilligan's Island. So that when we're going through life, what? We get around those that talk this message of identification. They remind you, hey, sister, I know what you're going through, but let me holler at you for a minute. Let me talk to you for a minute. Come on. And we humble ourselves because there's times where I've not bared fruit. And sometimes we get a little aggravated because somebody's trying to coach us and encourage us, and we're just like, well, I know that. Come on, can we just be real this morning? Come on. Am I the only hand in the building? You're like, people are trying to encourage you. You're like, yeah, I know this. I know this. I got it. But God sent that person to you, come on, to encourage you. or the Holy Spirit speaking to you himself to encourage you to say, hey, we're not really, we don't have no movement here. Things aren't moving. Come on. I have a hose. There's no water running through. There's things clogging up the hose. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? So this whole series on identification is to get the clog out. Come on. It's about mind renewal. It's about knowing who we are in him. That way, when we go out, and the Bible says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not something we just preach from the pulpit that sounds really cute and it sounds really good. It's a demonstrative gospel. Amen. Come on. It's a demonstrative gospel. Amen. See, you don't have to be the best orator. You don't have to be, come on, amen, all these things according to the world that says you have to be this before you produce that. No, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Listen, I'm not wearing the old coat. I'm wearing new life in Christ Jesus. In this new life, I have a covenant. Amen. And in that covenant, there are provisions. There are promises. And I have authority, amen, to exercise over devils, demons, and demonic spirits. Amen. Come on, somebody. I can live in such awareness of who I am in Christ, in him, in whom, amen, all through the epistles, Paul writes about that. So our goal in this series is to get our minds renewed, to bear more fruit, amen. You're bearing fruit, praise the Lord. Let's bear more. Come on, let's push more, amen. Let's see more. Come on, let's see arms grow out and legs grow out. Let's see oppression fall off of people, amen. Let's see people delivered of drugs and alcohol. Listen, and bad attitudes. Come on, one of the most killing things in the body of Christ are bad attitudes. Come on, bitterness, resentment toward brothers and sisters. When we actually get that out of us and get more in line with who we are in him, come on, and the Holy Spirit puts his fingers on these issues. Come on, there's times in my life I'm like, Lord, I don't want to go back to this in Christ understanding because I just really want to be mad at somebody right now. Come on, is anybody just that real with the Lord? I am. And the Lord just says to me, Aaron, you can't live that way. Come on, I am love. Love is in you, and that love needs to be released. And he said, one of the reasons you're frustrated in your spirit, in your heart, is you won't let love out. Come on, love, the love of God, is demonstrated in word and in action. The love of God needs to be let out of you. Amen. And so there's no time to be bitter. There's no time to be angry all the time. Come on, we're going through things. The sorrow may last for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Come on, faith is not denial. We go through stuff. But because of who we are in him, we could hit adversity, hit crisis, hit COVID, punch politics. Come on, people say you can't assemble, you can't meet, you can't do this. Come on, I'm not interested in telling people what they can't do. I'm interested in telling people what they can do. Come on, I'm not telling my kids all the time, you can't, you can't, you can't. As a dad, I'm telling my kids, come on, there is things they can't do, but I'm just going to inform them on what they can do. And their focus will be on what they can do instead of what they can't do. Come on, we're going somewhere this morning. So we're talking about identification, who you are in Christ, how God sees you. Amen. Again, get the current series. Because here's the thing, church, we want to push past. Does anybody want to experience more? Come on, are you dissatisfied in here this morning? Come on, with just cute messages and things like that. With me, I'm just like, Lord, I want more. I want to experience more. Amen. I don't want to just hear it. I want to demonstrate. I want to see it. Like Wednesday night, we had healings going on. Amen. But you know what? We're seeing it out in the streets too. So it's not just in the four walls. It's outside the building. Amen. And that's where the real work needs to be done. Come on, in your workplace. So what is the relevancy of this message? The relevancy of it is that it's a powerhouse message. It gets you so quickly to produce the kingdom. Amen. Because, come on, as Jesus is, so are we, what, in this world? He even said, greater works shall you do because I go into the Father. The Holy Spirit's been poured out, and we're ready to rock and roll. Amen. Come on, we're not a weak, feeble church. We're a powerful church. Amen. You have authority. Come on, addictions can't hold me. Bondages can't break me. Anything that world would try to put on me, amen, Christ in me, the hope of glory, can break anything, any circumstance, any emotion, every problem I'm going through. Greater is he. Come on, say it with me. Greater is he that's living in me than he that is in the world. Amen. We need to rely on the anointing. Come on, Isaiah said the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, because of the glory. Amen. So when your brow's sweating, like you were talking earlier, come on, we're trying to labor at this thing all on our own. But when you get the help of the comforter on the situation, come on, he comes in and helps you. Amen. Come on, you're like, you quit running with the turkeys. You ever see turkeys? Come on, you ever notice they're not around here at Thanksgiving time? They kind of disappear. But we're not running with the turkeys. Come on, we're soaring with the eagles. Amen. Come on, the Holy Spirit is the wind beneath your wings. He holds you up. Amen. So today we're going to get into this thing. If you're taking notes, amen, you can go on over to Luke chapter 4. We're going to speak a few minutes. Amen. And so we're going to get into the four laws of identification. Amen. Talking about the plan, the power, and the pursuit of identification. The four laws of identification. Today we're just going to talk about law one. If you're taking notes, write this down. The law of revelation knowledge. The law of revelation knowledge. Amen. Listen, some of you in this room, you have a desire to flow more in the gifts. You have a desire of more to flow with God. You have a desire to move with him. Amen. I love that song we used to sing in the 80s. You remember this? In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. Make a joyful noise, sing about the Lord, tell about his love, dance before him. Anybody remember this? Come on. My father was a worship leader and a teacher and a pastor. I grew up in the church my whole life, man. I've been around musicians. Come on, I can't sing or play. I try to sing. Amen. My sister here, she got on to me Wednesday night. She's like, you can sing. I said, with a group. Amen. But I was just messing with her. But anyway, come on. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. In him. Come on. In him. You get that? So this morning, again, you know the Bible is more than just theology and history. You know that, right? Come on. Some of us look at the Bible as if it's just theology, it's just history. Amen. And the Bible is inspired. Say inspired. It's inspired by God. God breathed. It's alive. Stay alive. If you're taking notes, write down Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Go study that passage of Scripture. Because it's going to talk about the Word of God. It's quick, sharper, and powerful. Come on. It can discern things. Come on. It can help you reveal. Come on. God will reveal things to you. Amen. And through you. So the Bible is inspired by God. God breathed, alive, and you can find yourself in the Bible. Did you know you can find yourself in the Bible? Amen. It's not just the book. Come on, the best self-help book that you can have is what? The Bible. Amen. And so write this down. I love this statement. Sense knowledge contacts the physical, but revelation knowledge shows you what God sees. So you want to see what God sees? Come on. God will reveal through revelation knowledge. He'll show you things. Amen. He'll reveal things to you. Not by mental assent, not by sense knowledge. Amen. And so when you see it in the Word, you can say what? I am who God says I am. Some of you read the Bible, as I have over the years, and you see yourself in the Bible. Amen. You're like, man, that's the Apostle Paul. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Well, I'm a man in Christ too. Amen. The same works that Paul did, I can do. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. And so you identify or find yourself in the Word. Amen. And revelation knowledge is how God changes people's identities. Revelation knowledge. How about salvation? When a person hears the gospel, what happens? Come on, revelation. Knowledge is coming to them. They hear the Word, they receive the Word, and then they do something about the Word. What do? They believe in their heart, and they confess with their mouth. Everyone in this room that I believe that I know is born again. So we got some work to do. Amen. Let's fill the chair. Come on, somebody. Amen. So you in this room believed in your heart, and you did what? You confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Listen, through revelation knowledge in the Bible, God can carry on two conversations at once. What do you mean by that? God could have been talking thousands of years ago, and all of a sudden you read the Bible today. Say today. How many of you know the Bible was written and inspired many years ago, and he was talking back then? How many of you know he's still talking today? Come on, he's still speaking today. So all of a sudden you're reading the Bible today, amen, sitting here in church, and the Holy Spirit says to you, come on, you hear that on the inside, he wrote that for you. Come on, he wrote that for you. There's been many church services, times I've been at home, times with my wife where we've been praying, and the Lord spoke things to us, and he said, I wrote that for you. Come on. I wrote that for you. Because we're figuring out, come on, we're a young married couple. We're trying to figure out, we were raised in this, we're trying to figure out how to prosper. See, we've watched our parents grow through things and prosper. But now we're married, we're on our own, and we're trying to figure out, number one, as a husband, how am I to be married to my wife? Because it goes beyond just mental assent. This is a Christian marriage. There's some things I need to know about my wife. Amen. Amen. Can I just go there for a minute? Married couples, this is not all about sex. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, it's not all about sex. Amen. How many of you know you need to go for walks? How many of you know you need to hold each other's hand? How many of you know you need non-sexual affectionate touch? If you were at our marriage conference this past, what, a few months ago? Oh, February. It's February. Amazing conference. Learned a lot. There's just truths. How many of you know God wants you to come to him and he'll meet your needs, but, you know, he doesn't want just sex all the time? He said, what do you mean by that? Listen, he wants you to come to him and talk to him and tell him, come on, and let him talk to you. He wants you to communicate. Amen. He wants you to just sit there with him in his lap, pouring out, talking to him, good and bad. Come on, amen. Now, see, he'll meet your needs because the Bible says he will. But he wants to dine and commune with you. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. And so, through revelation knowledge, amen, this is demonstrated. What do you mean? He wrote that for you. There's things that God spoke to me. Hold your wife's hand. Come on, we're reading through the Bible. We're doing marriage conferences. My wife's communicating to me. The Holy Spirit's revealing things to me. And he's going, listen, this is what your wife needs. I'm just going to go there this morning. He said, she doesn't need that. She needs this. If you'll listen to me, come on, the first time he started speaking to me about these things, he's revealing who he is. And information is present, but there's revelation present too. And so he begins to tell me how he sees me, and he starts working on me, and he starts talking to me in my heart. See, I'm over here thinking I need to do all these things for my wife, and the Lord's like, no, let me reveal some things to you, because that scripture you're reading, I wrote that for you. I want you to know what that means. And when you know what that means and you receive that word into your heart, it's going to produce fruit, and it's going to bless your wife. And I said, Lord, open the eyes, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul prayed, come on, this prayer, he said, open the eyes of our understanding that we may, come on, say it with me, see and know. Come on, when you start praying Ephesians 1 and 3, God will, come on, the Spirit of truth will open the eyes of your understanding. Come on, he'll remove the veil. He'll remove the, that's what that means in the Greek, that God takes his supernatural hand out and he removes the veil from your spirit. Come on, things that are blocking, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, unrenewed mind, issues that are in the way. Come on. Open my understanding, Lord. And he says, whoop, I'll do that for you so you can see. Amen. So this is demonstrated in the Gospels of Luke, the law of revelation knowledge, when Jesus preached his first sermon or his first message in his own hometown. Amen. And so we see this in Luke 4, 17 through 21. I'm going to read this. It says, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, to Jesus. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. Verse 18, he made this statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Verse 21. Then he began to speak to them. Underline the statement in your Bible. Highlight it, because this is a pretty important passage. Pretty important part. Right here it says, this scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. What are you saying? We know that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, that he is deity. But in Philippians, it says Jesus laid aside his powers of deity and functioned as a man. So some people look and say, well, he's just Jesus. No, we need to look at the other side of this. So turn in your Bibles to Philippians 2. We'll have it on the screen. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. What are we talking about? We're talking about law one, the law of identification. Amen. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of of equality with God as something to cling to. He said instead, in verse 7, he said he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born of a human being. When he appeared in human form, listen to this, I loved it. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. What are you saying? Jesus was not born quoting scripture. The Bible says he was a child, a teenager, and a young man. So for the sake of your notes, in Luke 2:52, write this down. Luke 2:52 says what? It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and with man. Come on, somebody. Amen. So you can find yourself, listen, you can find yourself in the Bible. Did we just see Jesus find himself in the Word? Yes, we did. We're going to look at this some more. Listen, we need to find ourselves in the Bible just like Jesus did. Amen. 1 John 4:17 says what? As he is, so are we in this world. Say that with me. Say, as he is, so are we in this world. Listen to me. Not in the sweet by and by. Right here. We can produce. We can manifest. Come on. With our union with Christ, we can produce the kingdom on our job. We can hold a door. We can bring encouragement. Come on. There's different ways to evangelize. You don't have to be preachy all the time. Amen. You can demonstrate the love of God through words or action. How many know buying somebody a coffee? I used to work for medical offices. You know what was awesome? It opened my eyes to see the kindness of somebody that wasn't even born again that came every morning to bring us coffee to our office. I'm thinking, how powerful of an impact would that be if we found ourselves in the scripture and we did the very works that Jesus commanded us to do, and we see these random acts of kindness in the scripture, and we did the very thing in this world. Amen. Come on. Amen. Some of us just need to go through Starbucks or Dunkin' or wherever it is you go, or to a cafeteria. You need to pay for the coffee for somebody behind you. Why? Because it'll open up conversation to help that person find themselves in the Bible. Why? Because Jesus died for them. Come on, somebody. Amen. So a great example. Listen, Jesus studied the scriptures and he found places which referred to him. You're a student of the Bible, you'll see this. A great example is in Isaiah 61:1-3. In Jesus' first sermon, he said it. That is me. Come on, that is me. When you look at the Bible and you read it, come on, say this with me. The Bible is God speaking to me. So when we read the Word, we need to understand that we're reading the Bible with this understanding that the Bible is God speaking to me. It's not just a self-help book. Amen. It's God speaking to me. So that when I hear, come on, or when I see, or things are revealed to me. Come on, amen. That's God. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit in him, in Christ, and on him, the Bible says, increased as he identified with these scriptures. You saw great miracles, signs, and wonders. Come on, the Holy Spirit was upon him as a dove without measure. He did some things. Amen. And did you know that Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ came? Amen. 700 years. Isaiah wrote this. And so I'm going to say it again. We must find ourselves in the Word of God. Amen. What are we talking about? The law of revelation knowledge. Amen. So John the Baptist. Anybody remember John the Baptist? How many know John the Baptist did the same thing? Something similar in Luke 3:4. It says in Luke 3:4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Listen, make his path straight. So John must have studied these scriptures, come on, and found himself in the Word. Amen. You know, John had a pretty powerful job in front of him. He was preparing the way for Christ. Amen. Jesus showed up, and John even said, man, I'm not worthy. He said, yes, you are. Come on. It must be done according to the scripture. There's power in the scripture, y'all. Amen. Amen. So when we read Isaiah 43, come on, Isaiah said, I am that voice. Come on, he's talking about me. Amen. How many of you know John's true identity was in the Word of God? Come on. John's true identity. This is the law of revelation knowledge. Amen. And so Paul the Apostle. Anybody remember Paul this morning? We're going to close here. We're coming to an end. Amen. He's the endings are good. How many know something needs to begin, but something needs to end? Amen. And we're going to minister at the end of our service. Amen. I'm excited. The Lord spoke to my heart some things before service. And he said, listen, teach the word, but we're going to demonstrate. Amen. How many of you know God wants to minister to you? He wants to touch you. He wants you on the move. There's things you need to know. Amen. Amen. And so Paul, the apostle, in Philippians 3:9, if you want to turn there, he says something very similar. Paul made this statement, and I love this. Paul said, and be found in him. In him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And be found in him. Let's go back to that. Paul the apostle found his true identity in Christ. Amen. Come on, somebody. Listen, if you've lost your identity, some of us are like, I'm wandering. I'm in the church. How many know you can go to church and clutch a Bible and still not know who you are in Christ? You can sit in a church for years and still not understand who you are or even what your destiny is. What is my destiny? What is my calling? Amen. But here in this house, we want you to help identify these things. We want to help you. Amen. Amen. And there's others in the body of Christ that want to help you too. Amen. And so if you have lost your identity or destiny, it can be found in Christ. Amen. Where is my identity? Get in the Word. Come on, find out what Jesus said through. Come on, Jesus says about you what God says through the blood. Amen. Amen. See, when he sees you, he don't see you messed up. Come on, he don't see you jacked up. Amen. I preach with a lot of slang, but we're just going to keep moving. Amen. Amen. Come on, he sees you through the blood of Jesus. God sees you through that blood. And there's, come on, as a believer, there's faith in that blood. Amen. Amen. See, Colossians 2:3 says this, in him, in whom are hid, in Christ Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What do you need to know? Do you need wisdom or do you need knowledge? Listen, the Bible says in Colossians 2:9-10, for in him, say in him, say it louder, say in him, grab that statement right there, underline it in your Bible. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete. Say complete. You are complete in him. There is nothing inferior about the new birth. Amen. God didn't put anything, come on, everything that God wanted in you, he put in Christ. Amen. Think about that for a second. I'm a man in Christ. I'm a new creation. Come on, I find myself in the Word. This is what God says about me. I'm an overcomer. Yeah, I got trials, James chapter 1. I got things happening. But Revelation 12:11 says I overcome because of the, what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the words of my testimony. So it's not just what Jesus did. I need to take my New Testament hyssop, my tongue. Come on, dip it in the revelation knowledge of who I am in Christ and that he died for me and he rose from the dead for me. And the hyssop of my tongue needs to speak. Come on, I need to say some things. Amen. I need to say what God says. Listen, John knew this. Paul knew this. Jesus knew this. Listen, Jesus is called the Word in John 1:1. And you can find him throughout the Word. But see, not only are you complete in him, let me back up here. He is the head of all principality and power. And so he is the Word, and you can find, come on, you can find him throughout the Word, John 1:1. Amen. So say, find myself. You need to find yourself in the Word. You need to quit reading the Bible as like, this is just a self-help thing. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. What trials are you going through? What circumstances are you facing? Come on, you need more income. You've been contemplating leaving the job and going to another job. There's times where I went to leave places I knew in the interview. I'm interviewing at a place on the inside. I knew I had no peace, none whatsoever. The Apostle Paul said, as a believer, we're to let the peace of God rule or be the umpire of our heart. And there was no peace. My umpire was screaming at me, get out of here. And so I spent 6 months because I had two kids at the time. I needed some things to happen. We had just moved here. Isn't it funny how I had thousands of dollars sitting in my, can I just testify? Thousands of dollars sitting in my bank account when I left Florida. And God said, go start a church. But you know, all that money dissipated because he told us to come here and he said, get your family established before you plant. I said, okay. So we worked for many years getting our family, come on, planted here. My kids, getting them comfortable. Did what the Lord said, do. Because whatever he tells you to do, you what? You do it. I know it's so simple, but we must operate this way. Miracles would be popping in the kingdom more and more and more if we would just listen. Come on, amen. We're going to see this in a minute. Amen. God wants to demonstrate himself. He wants you to know the same way he works through me, he can work through you. Come on. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. So you get the law of revelation knowledge. This is just one of the four laws. But you get this going on and you get this understanding. Come on, there's fruit bearing in your tree. You step in front of somebody. Come on, there's ministers in this house this morning. That's the way God sees it. And he sees you in your ministry out and about. Come on. And instead of looking like God told Jeremiah, don't stare at their faces. Don't look at their faces. Come on. Faces will mess you up sometimes. Come on, you just need to do what God told Jeremiah. Don't stare at their faces. You just need to listen on the inside and do what I tell you to do. Come on, just like we were prophesying this morning. I didn't have nothing, but when I stood in front of her, you know, I've been doing this thing a little while, and I'm learning, and we're still growing. Come on, I'm hungry. You hungry? I'm hungry. I want to see more. Amen. This week, I was just crying out to the Lord. I said, I'm aggravated. I ain't got nobody saved. Wednesday night, I got somebody saved. I went home and cried for an hour. You know why? Because that blessed me. That ministered to me. Amen. I'm talking to people. Go on. We have a community that, of believers. Amen. Come on. Everybody in the world is saved. That's what I hear all the time. No, man, I'm saved. I just do my own kind of church. Come on. Amen. We got various reasons. And so if you look to their face, instead of operating according to what I'm talking about, you'll look at the natural and miss it. And I've been there. Well, okay, no, on the inside, Lord's like, you need to press this person. And you begin to press through conversation, and you push through, and you push through. Does that remind you of the woman with the issue of blood? Did she spend all she had? Come on, did she go to every doctor and get all the natural, come on, remedies, and they didn't do anything? But she heard. Then she said. Then she did. And then she received. That issue of blood in her was dried up. She didn't even have hands laid upon her. She just went thronging through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. She said out of her mouth, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She got there, she was made whole. The flow of blood in her body dried up. What is this? The law of revelation knowledge. There was something revealed to this woman. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, amen. You think she went and found herself in the Bible? I guarantee you she did. You think she followed Jesus? I guarantee you she did. You think her life was changed? I guarantee it was. Come on, how about the Samaritan woman at the well? You remember her in the gospel? Jesus said, hey, there's living water right here. She said, man, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to reach down there? And it was revealed to her. She went and told everybody in her town. Come on, this man is a prophet. Amen. Come on, somebody. This isn't just inspirational teaching and words. This is a demonstrative gospel we're talking about. Amen. This is when, come on, I used to be depression. As a young man, 16, 15 years old, I almost stuck a gun to my head and blew my brains out. But you know who showed up? John 1:1 showed up. The Word showed up. He spoke to me. Come on, I was so depressed and sad. I grew up in the church. Don't tell me. Come on, I could quote scripture to you for days and hours. But experientially, I was dry, sad, depressed, and miserable. But it had nothing to do with my upbringing. It had everything to do with what I received into my head and every thought and idea and suggestion and every fiery dart that Ephesians 6. Come on, I wasn't raising up my armor. What I was doing is I was giving place to fiery darts. They were sent on fire from Satan, from hell. And they were coming, come on, lit on fire. And they would, come on, they would hit my head. And they would blow, come on, explosive. When you study that out, when Paul was in chains, he said, come on, he looked at a Roman soldier, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, here's the armor. Let me talk to you about that. Come on. And those in the natural Roman soldiers didn't use this arrows. There were hollow core arrows filled with liquid, and the tips were lit on fire. When they were shot out through the enemy, they not only hit, but there was an explosion. This is the thought, idea, and suggestion that comes to you and I's head. Sent on fire by the course of hell. This is your adversary trying to get you away from identification. Why? Because you're already a powerhouse for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, this is how God sees you, church. Amen. Now, I like dancing too. We do that. But come, but when I dance, come on, the Spirit of God moves upon me, man, and I'm just like, my body can't handle it. I just take off. He wants to play with you and tickle you and touch you and minister to you. Not just the problem, but in the good times. He wants you. Come on. One of the biggest things that I see that doesn't help people is the blessing. Because a lot of people get blessed. They forget what God did. You know, he opened doors and everything that he's done for them. Come on. The good life has taken people away from the kingdom. Amen. So it's not just like the barrel's on top of me. Come on. How many of you know the good life can get you away? Come on. You're not fellowshipping with heaven anymore. God's speaking and we're not listening because we're just living the good life. Listen, I love the good life. I want to be out on a boat in the lake teaching my son how to fish. That's good life. But when Jesus said, hey, I need to speak with you, I'm going to be like he did. The Father spoke to him and the Father said, I need to talk to you for a minute. And Jesus departed from his, come on, responsibilities and said, I'm going to commune with the Father. This is what we're talking about. Amen. And there were things that was revealed. There were things that the Father said to Jesus. Amen. Listen. I love this, and this is the true rap for today. Ian, where's Ian? If you'll come on up, brother. Amen. This is what I love. You know, Peter had an experience. Come on, John the Baptist, Jesus. You got to find yourself in the scripture. So you know the end result is I didn't commit suicide. You're like, where'd you go with that? I decided that John 1:1 showed up. I had thoughts come into my head. God spoke to me, and this is what he said to me. He said, there is more, and you will walk in more. And I'm going to, he told me, I'm going to bless you with a wife. This is years before I was married. He said, I'm going to bless you. It was a desire of my heart. He said, I'm going to bless you with a wife. I'm going to bless you with kids. You will have generations. And I said, okay, my commitment to you today is I will put this revolver down, yield to you, and do what you tell me to do. And you say, well, why are you passionate about what you do? Come on. I know the commitment that I made to the Lord. I'm not letting the good life rock me. I'm not letting a good life keep me from where I need to be in my assembly. I'm not, come on. People say, I don't like prophecy. I'm sorry. I don't like the gifts of the Spirit. I don't like communing with God. I'm sorry. I do. And it's biblical. Well, I don't like healings and miracles. Jesus doesn't heal everybody. Well, in his own hometown, he would have healed everybody, but there was unbelief present. But his goal is to heal everyone. He wants to minister to you. Acts 10:38 says how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good. They doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Who was with him? Who's with you? Who's in you? Come on, Peter said this. Peter had an experience like this in Matthew 16. He said, and Simon Peter answered, Matthew 16:16-18. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Grab this statement. What are you seeing? The law of revelation knowledge. Even goes as far as changing his identity right here. Come on, he changes his name, gives him purpose, reveals things to him. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When Peter got the revelation of who Jesus was, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Jesus told him, you didn't get this. Listen to me. You didn't get this by your five physical senses. You got this by revelation. Come on, that's my interpretation. He said, you didn't get this by just your five physical senses. This was revealed to you, to your spirit, to you. Amen. Come on, somebody. So there is more about who you are and what he has planned for you and me. Come on, there's more. There's more. Jesus said, thou art Peter. Peter was changed by this experience. Listen, we see later. What do we see? Amen, Rachel. What do we see in the book of Acts chapter 2 with Peter? Come on. We see Peter deny Christ 3 times. We see Peter just like, oh. But Peter was in the upper room. Peter was with the 120. Peter got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Peter went out and said, hey guys, these men right here, come on, they aren't drunk as you suppose. This is that. David, would you get this out of here? This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Come on, he ministered, people got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, 3,000 people. You want to talk about the law of revelation knowledge? Come on, Peter had a change of identity. God came to restore him. Peter, do you love me? Come on, do you love me? You love me. Stand with me today. We're gonna pray, and we're going to get out of here. I'm excited about this. Amen. For those of you who have been watching online, we love you. We have service every Sunday at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 7, prayer, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Listen, if you need healing in your body, you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, leave a comment in the field. If you need prayer of agreement or you just need prayer for anything, reach out, leave comments in the field. We want to pray with you, reach out to you, bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.